Amen. Wasn't that a great time of worship? I brought a friend here a few months ago, and he thought the band were on tour. I said, no, it's just our normal band. He couldn't believe it. Anyway, great to see you. Welcome to Amazing Grace. Wonderful to see you. If you're here for the first time, you're very welcome. And it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. A couple of announcements. We have on 10 o'clock on Thursday morning till 11:30, we have Little Treasures. And you're probably thinking, that's me. But no, it's for 0 to 4-year-olds. So you're very, very welcome. If you've got a 0 to 4-year-old, come along. That'd be great to see you. And also next Sunday, we've got our Bring and Share lunch. Not our Bring and Buy lunch that Paul said this morning. That wouldn't work. But it's our Bring and Share lunch. So you're very welcome to come along to that. Come and meet people. Come and have some food. And if you don't like people, just come and have some food. And what are you going to try to do? So tonight, because it's Mother's Day, we've got two mothers to come and speak to us. Isn't that nice? Yeah. The Right Reverend Carolyn Duffew and my gorgeous daughter-in-law, Esther Bray. And they're the mother of 4 children and 1 on the way, which is really nice. So, Carolyn, over to you.
From one mother to many mothers in the room, happy Mother's Day. I hope you've had an awesome day. I have. I got up, didn't have any children at home this morning, but because they were sleeping out because I was at a wedding yesterday. My gorgeous niece, who I could never get to church on a Sunday night if she wasn't around to babysit, so bless her. Had them for me, and then we met them out for lunch today and had a really nice family time. So I hope you guys have been blessed, because I've been blessed. me and Esther are going to talk about mums. Well, we're going to use mums to talk about characteristics of God. And so I'm going to share a little bit about one mum, and then Esther's going to talk about another mum. And I'm just going to start off talking about Moses' mum, which I thought was quite a random mother for God to ask me to talk about, because she's only mentioned in Exodus chapter 2. She has no name, and she's only really mentioned in a few verses of that passage. But really, God's really put something on my heart about her as something spiritual that she carried, really. So the background, for those of you that maybe don't know, the children of Israel went to live in Egypt under Joseph because there was a famine. And they lived there, and so the Pharaoh died, and more Pharaohs came and died. So at the time where this was written about Moses' life, the actual knowing of Joseph was well gone. And the Pharaoh at the time was really upset and angry that the people of the Hebrews were growing in number. And he got concerned that potentially they were going to join forces with an enemy and overtake the nation of Egypt. So he plotted and planned in a few different ways on how he was going to stop the people of Israel. So the first thing was he was going to oppress them. Just wanted to make them work hard. That didn't work, so he oppressed them a bit more, and that didn't work. So then he thought, I know, we'll take away all the boys, the sons. So he asked the midwives to kill the babies at birth. But they feared God more than they feared Pharaoh, praise the Lord, and decided that they couldn't do that. So then on the back of that, he then ordered that they would be drowned. So when when they were born, they would be drowned. So that's kind of the background of going into where Moses came along. So Moses was born into a family of Levites, really, and they were the priestly people. So his mother was from the priestly line, and his father was from the priestly line, which I thought was quite incredible. You know, every single one of us come from God the Father, so we are in the priestly line. Every single one of us carries God's anointing. Isn't that incredible? And Moses, before he was even named Moses, was born into the priestly line. There was a calling on his life, but he didn't know that. His mother probably didn't know that either. So the fear that nation had at the time, God used that fear to bring some faith through one lady. And she clearly believed that her child was to live, otherwise she wouldn't have done what she did. She took her child and she nursed him for 3 months in secret. Now that must be hard, mustn't it? Mummies over there, to keep your children quiet, you know, for 3 months where no one heard the child. So it got the point where she knew that she needed to do something else. So in her mind, and I'm sure, you know, it doesn't say this, But for me, I'm sure she asked God for guidance on that. Where else would a plan so perfect come from to put a child in a basket and lay him in the bulrushes? I mean, like, that's just, God's so creative, isn't he? She took her child, made this basket, and she put him in a basket. And her sister watched guard over her brother. And I, as a parent, you know, you let your children go to school for the first day and your heart kind of breaks, but you have to do it. And you pray, you intercede on their behalf. And I'm sure that as a family, as a priestly family, they prayed and interceded on the life of their son, that the hand of God would be on him to protect him. So lo and behold, Pharaoh's daughter goes to bathe. Now, did she put him in the bulrushes knowing that the daughter was going to bathe? I don't know. But, you know, God's in every detail. He was in that bulrushes, and Pharaoh's daughter went down to bathe. Out of everybody in the whole of that kingdom, it wasn't Joe Bloggs, the builder, who would have automatically told Pharaoh to have the baby killed. It wasn't Pharaoh himself. It was the daughter. It was someone with a heart. You know, and God created us all with soft hearts. We might not think it, but he created us in his image. You know, God is the God of love. Our heart that we've got, he put there. So our heart is made to love. So, and as Pharaoh's daughter approached and she saw the basket, she sent a servant in to get this basket. They brought the basket out and they took her the lid. And it says in verse 6 of Exodus chapter 2, and when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. Of all the things that child could have done at that point, it wept. Instantly, she had compassion. What it says here. So when the baby wept, so she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. I mean, you know, when a baby cries, your heart goes to that child. As a mother, or as anybody who's holding a child, when it cries, you instantly want to soothe it. You want to do something to comfort it. You know, and the instinct that God had put in her was to compassion for that child. Knowing that it was a Hebrew child, she had compassion. And God used that lady to look after this child. And so as she's holding the child and having compassion, Moses' sister comes out and says, shall I get a nurse for you? How brave was that girl to come before Pharaoh's daughter knowing that potentially something probably would have happened to her. And she says, shall I get a nurse for you? And the daughter says, yes, get me a nurse. So she goes home and brings her mother, the natural mother who gave birth to this child, to nurse this newborn baby, her son. And in my mind, I'm convinced that she knew that this was the mother of the child. Doesn't say that in the Bible. But the natural thought processes would indicate she knew it was a Hebrew child. She would naturally assume that potentially this was the real mother. And she said, will you nurse this child? You take care of it. I'll provide for it. You look after it until it's old enough to be weaned. So Moses' mum takes back her child, and under the authority of Pharaoh, this kingly authority, you know, she had a right now to openly look after this child. And, you know, we stand in a kingly authority. God has given every single one of us an anointing and authority from him that we can stand in the power and authority of him. You know, he's called us all by name, and he called Moses for a purpose. Moses didn't actually get called Moses until he went to live with Pharaoh's daughter when he was older. But we are all called by name. God knows us individually. You know, you might be sat here and think, I've never been in church. How does God know my name? He does. He created you. He made you perfect and beautiful in his sight. And, you know, as she held the child, gave it back, Moses' mum had 3 to 5 years, says in the Bible, it talks about the time of weaning, somewhere between 3 to 5 years, to teach Moses all about their faith. You know, at the critical age of his life, you know, they say those early years when you teach him so much, that's like a key time to sort of, for a development of a child. You know, she instilled the godly principles of their people into that child's life, knowing that one day she was going to have to hand him over to the Pharaoh's daughter, where everything, what they would teach him would be against what he'd been taught and what they stood for as a nation. So she trained him, and I'm sure she taught him, you know, as a priestly line, all the things that they did, how they, you know, sacrificed, the reasons why they sacrificed and things like that. So Moses was trained from birth, and he was free to be trained because of the faith of his mother. You know, when everything around them was filled with fear and dread from what the oppression that Pharaoh had put them under, this child grew up in the freedom of knowing, the freedom of being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So, you know, it says in the Bible, under Proverbs 22, verse 6, about training up your child in the way it should go, and when they're older, they won't depart from it. You know, and that's like, that's really blesses me to know that I don't know how my children are going to grow up. I don't know what they're going to do when they get older. But I can trust in the word of God to know that if I train them well, even if they make different choices when they get older, that, you know, the word of the law, I believe that God's word's true, so they won't depart from it. I've got to stand on that truth and declare it and speak it over their lives. And I imagine that Moses' mum did that for her son, declared things for him, you know, that as he got older, that he wouldn't depart from the ways of the Lord, that, you know, God, and that God's hand was on his life. And as she gave him back to Pharaoh, the daughter, she had no idea the plan ordained for her son's life. She did not know how crucial he was going to be to the freedom of their people. You know, she was faithful with what God had given her, and that was her son. And God took her faithfulness and put in a process of place where his life was protected, his hand was on his life, he was trained, and he was called later on to be the savior of their people, to bring them out of Egypt and bring them into freedom. And we have no idea what we're nursing, you know, as mums. I've got three children, a 13-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 6-year-old. And God's given me some incredible pictures and things for my children, and I've got to stand on them and pray them into being. But she also had to, the time where she gave him to Pharaoh's daughter, she had to surrender him over. You know, she had to, you know, that must have been so painful to sacrifice, to give your child over willingly to somebody else. And sacrifice as parents is one of the things that you have to do. You can't not do it. You have to do it, don't you? And surrender, constantly surrender. I find with my children, I'll surrender them to God, and something will happen, and I'm like, oh, and naturally I want to comfort them and sort it all out. And then I realize that God's saying, where are they now? We've taken them back. You need to surrender them before me. So I have to surrender them again. And now I just want to share one little story before Esther comes up. And it's a time where I had to surrender my daughter to God. And it was just before Christmas. Something had happened at school, which wasn't her fault, but where a situation had come about, and she'd been humiliated, really. I think it's a proper word to use for it. And as a mother, that absolutely broke my heart for her to know the consequences of what had happened and to see the pain that she was in. It was like a twofold thing. I was walking through it with her, but I felt broken. And it was the first time I've ever felt heartbroken for her, which was like a really, really deep pain. And I remember one day she'd gone to school, knowing I didn't really want her to go to school, but she had to go to school. And I laid on the sofa and I cried and I cried and I cried before God. And I just said to God, why? Why, Lord? You know, she's my child. She's beautiful. She doesn't deserve this. You know, the usual things you say. And then God just, and I was laid on the sofa with tears rolling down my face. And God showed me a picture. And in this picture, he took me into a room in heaven. And in heaven, there was all these babies in this room. And God went into the room and the babies were all at peace. You know, they weren't crying or anything like that. It was it was God, and it was full of God. It's peace. And he looked in the room and he went to a child that was in this room, and he picked up this child and he nursed the child, and you know, he lovingly doted on her. Like, I watched my brother doting on his little girl, and which is gorgeous to watch. And God just looked down at this child and absolutely adored this child. And he was talking to her. Well, he was talking to the child, and he was telling the child how much he loved her. I created you in my image. You're beautiful in my sight. You're perfectly formed. Everything about you I know. And it was quoting like scripture, loads of different scriptures, but the main scripture it was sort of saying was out of Psalm 139. It says, "Yeah, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are my works. When I look at you, your frame is not hidden from me. You know, before the beginning of time, you created this child. You know, my eyes, I saw you before you were born. I've created you, and it's just beautiful." And I was like, "Oh, isn't that gorgeous? That's so nice that you care so much about this child that you've got in your arms." And at that point, then in my sort of time with God, he took me to giving birth to Stephanie. And just as I gave birth, as this child, I didn't know whether it was a girl or it was a boy, this child came in my picture. It was me and Ian, and God gave me Stephanie. And I was like, "Oh my word, Lord, I feel so much for my child. My heart breaks for my child." But before I even knew what she looked like, whether it was a boy or a girl, you created her. You formed her perfectly, and you made her incredible in your sight. And you love her more than I love her, which is quite incredible, you know. And I want everyone in this room to realize God loves you. You're not a mistake, and you're not an accident. Your mum might have told you, "I never wanted you." But you know what? Before the beginning of time, just like my little Steph, God took you. He breathed his breath of life into you. And as you came into being and you were handed over to your parent, you were perfect. He loved you, and he had a plan for your life. Like Moses, God had a plan for Moses' life. God has a plan for your life too. And there is, you know, you might have been through many things in your life, but God created you in his sight. He loves you, and his plans are for good for your life.
Awesome. So, yeah, like we said, we're going to talk about another. I'm just going to talk about another mother from the Bible now. Just had Moses' mother and characteristics of her faith. And the other mother, very famous mother from the Bible, is Mother Mary, Jesus' mother, and that's who I want to talk about. So, when I was looking at the talk for today, I was reading through all the passages really that in the Bible that involve Mary and Jesus, and the passage I felt to speak about was in Luke 2. And I was going to read the passage to you, but I don't want to take up too much time with reading it, so I'll just kind of describe to you. But if you do want to read it, it's Luke 2, 21 and onwards in that chapter. So it's about Mary and her faith. After the nativity story, it goes on to talk about 8 days later, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to be circumcised and dedicated to God in the temple. And really, that's kind of what they did to surrender their child to God. You know, it was part of the law in those days. Circumcise your son, your first son, and then take them to God and dedicate them to God and, you know, put them in God's hands. You know, they belong to God. They're not actually your child, they're given by God, so give them back to him just after they're born when they're only 8 days old. You know, like Moses' mother surrendered the baby. So Mary and Joseph surrendered Jesus at such a young age, and their heart was to trust him into God's hands and into God's plans for his life. And, you know, when they did that, in the temple it says at the time, there was a prophet that came over, and he'd been led by the Holy Spirit. He was called Simeon, and he was dying to meet the Messiah before he himself passed away. It was something God had told him he would see before he died, so he went over and saw Mary and Joseph with this baby. And, you know, he was so excited, and he prophesied to them this awesome... I won't read it, it's too long, but might seem irrelevant, but really they just spoke over awesome things and plans for Jesus to his parents, in the same way like Carolyn has awesome words and visions and things for her children. This is what Mary as a mother received at just 8 days old for Jesus from this prophet. So, you know, God's speaking powerfully tonight about vision, you know, like that awesome vision Carolyn just told us about for her stuff. And something I wanted to share was about a vision I received. I actually wrote down the date of when I received it, and then I wrote it down the same day, I think. It was 2014, and it was before me and Andy were married. We were just engaged a couple of months till we were going to be married. And it was at an A61 night in this building, and we were receiving stuff from the Holy Spirit and soaking. And, you know, I've always, like, received pictures from God, you know, like praying for people, and you see a picture, and maybe for myself. But this vision was, like, different. It was on, like, another level. I really felt I was there, and it really blessed me. It was like I wasn't in the room anymore in this vision, you know. So I think I'll just read what I put the same day for you. And I just... it's also about children for me, as relating to mothers and things. And it massively changed the path I was on right then. Bearing in mind, before I read this, I wasn't married, I wasn't pregnant, and I didn't have children. What I wrote was, I'm walking through a gate out of a park and into a garden. A swing is swinging to a halt behind me as I leave, and a bright setting sunlight is coming through the trees in the garden. I walk on a path and I turn to the right, and then I turn right again and sit down on a bench with Jesus, and he's facing the play park, which I've just left, and no one else is around. And I ask Jesus what he's looking at and what's he trying to show me. I look over to the park, and I see myself swinging on the swing, and I realize Jesus was watching me. And I watch myself swinging for a while, and suddenly a massive rainbow just comes over the park that I'm watching myself in, and like God reminds me how his promises are just totally covering my whole life, totally over this park my life's taking place. I watch myself swinging for a while under the rainbow, and, you know, I'm wondering if that's what God was speaking to me about, if there's any more, you know. That would have been enough, I think. Shortly after, Andy is in this park with me, swinging on the swing next to me. And then he gets out of his swing and starts to push me on mine, and he's pushing me quite high. And, no, this is about our marriage together at that point, but this bit is where it really, like, massively, God really spoke to me and changed the direction of my life. We were already planning to get married, but soon after, I zoom in on this park in my vision, and I can see Andy pushing a roundabout with a massive smile of joy on his face and excitement. And then as it backs away from the roundabout, I see a little boy from behind, stood watching his dad, aged between ages of 1 and 2. And I wrote exactly what he was wearing. The boy's wearing cute little brown corduroy trousers with elasticated waistband. And a light blue jumper, and his hair is golden brown. And some of you might not have seen my little boy, but it's quite amazing, really. I feel a love come over me as I look at our son from behind, which I'd never felt before. I've just felt it in this vision. And then I sense, as it pans out again back to seeing the whole park, that I'm sat watching on a swing, holding another baby, which I'm now carrying. I then see us playing on the slide in the park, and Andy's catching the children at the bottom. And after that, my vision was interrupted by someone from the front on a microphone, probably. So it was only partial. I don't know what happens after that. But it was absolutely amazing. I was just 2 weeks from being married right then, and I guess we'd talked about our kids and future or whatever before, but in my mind, you know, a few years down the line, we'll have children. And but, you know, God, when he gives you these visions for your children and for your own lives, he changes your desires and he puts his desires in you. And, you know, I couldn't forget about that child I saw, like, so clearly. And I saw more visions of him, actually. I would pray about him and want to see more. And my heart was just like, I knew what God was doing in my life, what he was giving me. And it was like something personal God had given me to put my hope in, you know. And that rainbow as well was massive hope for me in all my circumstances. You know, visions are a powerful thing when you put your hope in them and you really believe in them and you get them off God. So we all need to receive something like that, you know, off God. Vision for our lives and for the lives of our children, to speak hope in their lives as well. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes, you know, everything is meaningless, like chasing the wind. And I just think that's the life of a Christian, really, who's not following a vision that God's given them. You know, what else are you doing with your life? You know, if you love God, you want his will for your life, and you want to step into true joy and purposes and plans to give you a hope and a future, you know, get a vision. It's actually something you can seek and ask for. If you don't have it, some of you may have loads of prophecies and visions. Some people might not have even really thought to ask God yet, but, you know, seek it actively, because you know, everything else is meaningless at the end of the day. So seek it for your children as well, to have hope for their futures, and to start praying and speaking that over them as they grow, or even no matter how old they are, you do it right, do it now, start now. And also, Mary, after this, so she's received prophecy and vision for Jesus, she then encounters another prophet straight away in the temple as well, called Anna. And I must say, like, Mary had already received prophecy from the angel Gabriel as well about Jesus, so she was already had a lot of confirmation about who Jesus was as the Messiah and God sent and chosen Savior. But then Anna also comes and confirms that in the temple, and starts praising God and telling everyone this is the Messiah, and she knows that as well. And you know, if you get a vision off God, I know for me with that vision, afterwards, you can feel a bit like, maybe not straight away, but when other things hit you, you might feel like, oh, was that just me? And am I making this up? And, you know, is it just flesh? Is it what I want really? Or, you know, but seek confirmation for these things that God gives you, because, like, straight after I received this vision, like, I'm already, like, doubting myself for it. Even though it was so bizarre and amazing, I couldn't really have made it up. Straight away, we went into, like, we spread out and we were giving each other words, personal words. And someone else on the course, Stella's sister it was, I remember, she came over to me. And she actually said, oh, you know, I said, there's been something I've had for you for a couple of weeks that I haven't told you. I wrote it down, actually. She told me, for the past couple of weeks, she's had a picture to give me. And she says that she sees a rainbow over me and that I'm under God's promise. So after that, you know, when you receive confirmation from God, you know, I felt like it's like your faith is suddenly planted on a rock rather than the sand where you're a bit like, oh, was that me? And, when you know, you can stand firm. I know what God's spoken to me and I know it. I have faith in that. And when the rain comes and situations happen and, you know, I know for me there's many circumstances where I've just believed because I've heard it so many times off God and nothing's really swayed me. So, you know, I'd encourage you. It's not doubtful to ask for confirmation for stuff. Keep pressing in and asking for confirmation if that's what you need for your faith. That's what Mary received a few times. I mean, God told her a few times different prophecies for Jesus. She needed that. Perhaps. So, yeah, the last thing I want to say was about how the end of this passage, she hears these things about Jesus and his future. It says she stored all these things, and his mother stored all these things in her heart. And what I realise is, like, Mary obviously put her faith in these things. They were close to her heart. If you look, because I was reading all the passages involving Mary in the Bible, I kind of realized the first time Jesus performs a miracle later on in I think it's in John, it describes the miracle of the water to wine, when he turns water to wine in a wedding. You know, Mary knows he's going to do it. She has faith in what her son is there to do, and that his, like, she's waited all these years with, you know, he doesn't start his ministry till 30. Maybe you've had a vision for something, and it was a very long time ago. It's hard to remember, maybe, but store these things in your heart, because 30 years later, she encouraged them, you know, can you help them? They need more wine. And he performs his first miracle. So don't be dismayed if it's something you have to hold on to for a long time. But don't forget things that people give you. Don't forget or that you receive personally from God, visions, words. Take them seriously in your heart like Mary did. And write them down. Pray through them. You know, it's wasted on you if you forget it in a way. You won't get the encouragement from it when you really need it. I know for when I was expecting Solomon, as I was coming up to the labour, I was reading my scriptures and things, and I needed, like, encouragement, and there was a verse that God was giving me, you know, going into labour. I've seen labour lots of times before this and delivered babies, and I needed some encouragement going into it. I think God knew that. So he gave me a verse in the Bible, which Andy memorised for me. So don't ask me what it was, because I can't really remember now. But I did think, I won't remember it in labour, but I'll make Andy memorise it for me. So I made him say it quite a few times leading up to the birth, because I knew it was going to need to encourage me. And these things God gives you, like, you need to remember them. You need to pull them out in times of doubt, in times of things aren't looking so firm on that rock right now. And yeah, there was a time in the middle of having Solomon where, you know, my medical knowledge kind of kicked in. I got very doubtful of things going well right now because I knew the way things were going. It looked like it was going to be a lot longer, and I was crying, and it was a quite emotional moment. And then Andy did the hard bit. He remembered the verse for me, and he quoted it over and over. My mum was at the birth too. She was in tears because Andy was just stood over me, and I'm in a wreck, and he's just speaking truth, encouragement, hope, and awesome blessing on me. And wow, it was a miracle how fast it went from there. But imagine if he'd forgotten. So words that you receive for you, for your children, you know, they're so important to hold on to them. And in all circumstances, you can try and see, you can see what God's doing in things if you remember what he said, what he was going to do, what his plans are. You know, when Mary stood at the cross and saw Jesus dying, it could have felt like her life was just being destroyed and what was God doing? But, you know, I believe Mary stood there with hope and belief in what she'd received, what she knew about Jesus's life, and that he was going to redeem the people and be the Savior, and that gave her hope in that terrible situation. She stood there knowing God's doing this, and this is working all towards his vision and his plan. And maybe you need that for your children in their circumstances right now, and God wants to give that to you. Trust in him and his plans for you personally as well. Seek vision from him tonight.
Awesome, Esther. Well done. Awesome. And, you know, it says in the Bible that it says in John 10:10 that the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But it says about Jesus that I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. It says abundantly in my version of it. And you know what? The enemy's real. You know, he wants to destroy our own lives and he wants to destroy those that we care about. But it says that Jesus comes that we might have life. And that we might have it to the full, you know. And like my Bible, that's what my Bible tells me. So I believe that the word of God is true. And as Esther was saying, as you declare the word of God, power is released, you know. And it's situations that you face in your own life, we all face, you know, that if we declare God's word, then we can break strongholds and situations, you know. And then as we walk through things, or as we watch family members walk through things, and we're helpless to help them. The one thing we do have is Jesus. We have the power of the word of God, and we can stand on that and declare it. And, you know, you might be sat here tonight and think, do you know what? I've never ever thought about Jesus. I've never ever thought that, you know, that God created the heaven and the earth, and then he created that, and he created us in his image. You know, you might never ever have thought that. You know, but when he did that, he created us. Every single one of us. And when I talked about that picture I had of our Steph where he breathed his life into my daughter, he breathed it into my life and every single one of us in this room. And when he did that, our heart started beating. And every beat that it takes was because he breathed life into our body. You know, we're made in his image and we're made with a heart to love him. You know, he's created us to want a relationship with him. So if there's anyone here tonight and you've never ever thought about Jesus, you know, you could say, do you know what? I want to have that peace that those people in that room have got right now. I want to know that God loves me unconditionally and feel that Jesus, you know, Jesus went to a cross. You know, Esther was sharing there about Mary watching the son. He went to the cross and he died for every single one of us that we could have a relationship with him. And that one day, you know, that way. When we die and we meet him face to face, what an incredible adventure that's going to be. You know, it's going to be absolutely awesome. Or you might be here tonight and you might think, do you know what? I've never ever asked God for a plan or a vision for my own life. Do you know what? He wants to give you one. You know, his spirit is always moving. He's always talking. And he loves it when we ask, you know. He says, you know, when we ask it, and he will ask and you will receive, you know. So tonight, if you want a vision from God for your own life, for your children's life, for some, you know, ask him because he'll give you it. He just wants to bless you. He loves you. He wants to bless you. You know, or you might think, do you know what? They're talking about this faith thing. I don't really have much faith. But you know, that's a gift. God will give you faith. If you want faith, more faith to believe that the word of God's true, and when you speak it, that word, things will happen and you'll see things happen. Ask him for faith tonight, because I know that when I have all my little wobbles, which I do. I have lots of them. But if I start declaring God's word about family situations and my own life, situations change. I get filled with peace and I get filled with the reassurance that even though that situation may not be changing, God's in it. You know, there was another situation, again with my daughter, getting really harassed and bullied at school. And I prayed for her because I couldn't go with her. And God showed me that Jesus was with a clear picture of him by her side as she went to school. And I'm like, The situation didn't change, but God was, he was with her. And that's all she needed. She needed to know, and my job was to tell her, that I know I'm not with you, darling. I know I can't go into school and do it for you, but Jesus is with you. I know you can't see him, but he is there. And that was enough for her to go to school that day. That's enough for every single one of us. You know, life might be battering you right now. I don't know what you're going through, but Jesus is enough for you. He's all that you need. He is everything that you need right now. So I just want everyone to close their eyes right now. You know, we've talked about Jesus. You know, you might not know Jesus. You might never have even thought about, do I want to have a relationship with him? Well, I just want to ask you now to think about that. Is there anyone in this room tonight who actually wants to have a relationship with Jesus? That wants to actually say, yes, I want my life to have peace. I want my life to have purpose. And if there's anyone in the room, I'm not going to like ask you to come forward or anything like that. I just want you to put your hand up, you know, because God sees your hand. It's not... Thank you. Put your hand down. Is there anyone else that just wants to say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to have peace right now. I want to face every day knowing that you're with me, like Stephanie does. Awesome. What we're going to do is, Lowry, can you come and play a song for us? And what we want to do is, we want to open it up tonight. You know, if you've never asked God for a vision for your own life or for that of your children's life or whatever, come forward, and there's loads of awesome leaders in this church that'll pray with you, that, you know, God will clearly show you a vision for your own life. Or if you want more faith to believe that God can come into a situation and turn it around. You know, you might be facing something really horrendous right now. You know what? Come forward and people will pray for you and invite God in that situation, see it turned around. Awesome. Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, we just want to encourage mothers as we finish. You know, it says... Jesus says three times in John 6 and again in John 10, all that the Father gives me, no one will snatch them out of my hand, but I will raise them up at the last day. So if you have children, grown children, that have made a commitment to God, but they're away from God at the moment, no one will snatch them out of his hand, but he will raise them up at the last day. Shall we stand together? And for those of you that have children that haven't given their lives to Jesus yet, life's not over yet. There's plenty of time. Keep praying by faith. Pray for them continually. Have faith in Jesus that he will save them. We want to pray for people tonight. If you're struggling, ladies, over your children, if you can't have children, if you've lost children, we want to pray for you. We want you to be blessed. We don't want to go to bed on Mother's Day not being blessed. In Jesus' mighty name. I want to encourage you quickly. If you want prayer, come forward. Don't hang about. Come, we'll pray for you. If you're a single mum, isn't that the hardest job in the world? Single mums. If you're a single mum, you need prayer. We want to pray for you. Bless you. Come forward. We'll pray for you. If you want to be a mum, if being a mum seems a long way off for you, we want to pray for you as well. Alison, Shez, will you come and pray for people? Terrier, can you come and pray for people, please? Emily, would you come and pray for people? Come and pray. You can double up and pray for people, that's fine. Father in heaven, we thank you for your amazing love for mums. Thank you, Lord. We ask you to bless every single woman in this place tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Whatever their age, whatever the circumstances, we ask you on this day to bless them. Holy Spirit of God, come. Bless them and encourage them. Fill them up in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you. We're going to keep praying for people. And there'll be tea and coffee coming out as well at some point. If you want prayer for anything else that we haven't mentioned, then come forward and we'll pray for you as well. Amen.